Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
I'm excited for this morning. I'm excited. Acts 16, if you want to turn there. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, everybody say about midnight. Sorry, when I hear about midnight, I always feel like I'm a Southern preacher, you know, like, about midnight. Sorry, okay. Somebody say midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison, everybody say all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. God, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you want to free people from prisons this morning. Lord, we thank you, God, that you want to free people from chains that have been bound them, that have bound them, Lord, for years. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to do that, God. Lord, I pray that I be articulate and to the point in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that this year is the year. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 William Nylander, right? He's back. He's back. He's coming home. So I would say it's about, is it on? I don't know. Sorry. It's just for the sound. I'd say about a year. I don't know, maybe a year ago, I got sick. And when I get sick, I don't usually get like really sick. Like I usually just kind of get a little fever and I get the sniffles. But this time I was really sick, like, you know, really sick. And so I'm struggling through this. I say it would be like a Wednesday. It hit me maybe halfway through the day to at night. And I had a rough night's sleep. And then Thursday, I sat in bed and rested. And I'm like, and so Friday comes along and it's actually my day off. And so I got up and I'm like, I gotta get out of the house. I gotta do something. And for those of you who don't know, my wife does hair from our home. So when I'm sick, I am stuck in my bedroom. Like I'm stuck in my bedroom. And so I'm like eating saltine crackers all day and drinking as much water as I can, obviously. But I'm like, I got to get out. And plus my passport was actually, I think it was either expiring or expired. And we planned on going to the States in a couple of weeks. And so, you know what? I'm going to go to the Penn Center. I'm going to do this thing that I wouldn't even want to do when I'm healthy, because I'd rather be doing something fun. And so I'm like, I'm going to tough this out. I'm going to do this. So I'm like, okay. So I drive over. I'm like, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a little, you know, sweaty kind of. And I'm like, okay, let's just keep going. So I sit. It was actually a very smooth process. So I'm like, I'm feeling good. Like I'm starting to feel better. I'm going to get a booster juice. And because that's healthy. Yeah, of course. And so and there's vitamin C, and I got that vitamin C boost in there. And so I'm like, I'm feeling better, kind of walking a little better. And so I start drinking this booster juice, and I'm like, I'm going to get my hair cut. So I go to this place and I say, you know, I'd like to book an appointment. They're like, it's probably going to be a half an hour. And it's a place I love to go to. And they're just awesome guys and girls there. And so I'm like, no problem. I'll walk around. So I begin to walk around. I finish my booster juice and I'm in a store and I start feeling a little nauseous. But I'm like, I can handle this. I can mind over matter here. Okay, I'm not sick. I'm not going to be sick. I'm okay. I'm feeling okay. Yeah, yeah. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get out of this store first thing. And so I'm in one of like those TV stores where all those gadgets and the things you can only buy on TV, or I don't know what they're called, but like the massagers and then the just useless stuff in that store. Sorry if you work there or own one, but just fun stuff that you can enjoy. And so I step out of the store and shockingly, I feel like this booster juice is going to come out, and it does. And I'm in the hallway and I try to do one of those, like, because that's the panic. But the problem with that is it becomes a sprinkler when you do that. It's not just one. And so I'm, and it sprinkles, it's hitting the window beside me. I'm sorry to be, I'm a young adults pastor. Come on, this is how I get the attention of young adults. But this is, but it's honestly, this was so dreadful. It was the one of the, it's got to be top most embarrassing things. I came home, I was like, Crystal, you're not going to, and like, Crystal's like, what's wrong? I get like halfway through the story and she's kind of connecting it and she's like, oh my goodness. And she's laughing her head off in my shame. And so the thing is so I sprinkle her and then I'm like, what do I do? And so I'm like looking around. I see where I get my hair done, where I've never went back to. And I the lady freaks out and she's kind of screaming because it was raspberry. So she wasn't sure if it was blood or if it was, she's kind of like, ah, are you okay? She's like, and so I'm just like, I'm cool. I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I'm totally fine. And this guy, thank the Lord, there was a guy with a mop and a bucket. He's kind of like really coming over quickly. He's like, okay. So he comes over. I'm just like, sorry, man. And I leave the shopping mall as fast as I can. And so I, like I said, I have never been back to that hair, what do you call it, barbershop. I've never been back there. In fact, the times where I go back to the Penn Center, I'm like, I hope the guy with the bucket isn't here. I guarantee you he remembers me. He's probably told that story 10 times to his coworkers. And there's actually, hear me out, but there's actually an amount of like shame and nervousness. Like the last time I went, I was like, this is where it happened. And I'm with a friend. I'm like, this is where it happened. Right here. I think you can see some. No, it's like, this is where it happened. And so there's almost a anxiety that comes over me in that moment, remembering that horrible experience. And you see, that is what we do when we have created and I want to say this specifically, when we have created a prison around us, when we have actually experienced something and our reaction is that we close in. when we've had hurts and we've had pains and we've had people do stuff to us, and all of a sudden when someone starts acting like that other person that hurt me, or I close in. Or maybe I lash out and I thrash with these chains on me, trying to protect myself. See, Paul and Silas in this moment, they had set someone free from a spirit, and they were thrown in jail for it. Sometimes there is people around us, they don't mean to, but there's people around us that don't want us free. There's people around us that, you know, they want us to kind of, don't change too much here. Like, I appreciate your growth, new Christian, but calm down. There's baby Christians. There isn't baby Christians. I appreciate that, but let's just ease up in that worship. I appreciate you jumping around, but that's for the youth and the young adults. I get that you're free, but in this moment, Paul and Silas could have actually stopped instead of worshiping and started pointing fingers at why they were in prison. See, I want to give you, see, prison isn't necessarily just a sin. It's not something that hurts our spirit to the core. When we're in a prison, it isn't necessarily a massive struggle that we have. A prison can be just as simple as a hurt, and therefore we react from that place. You follow me? So whether you know it, there's parts of us right here. So I'm not talking massive things here. I'm talking just little parts of us that we have actually protected, or we have actually imprisoned in our hearts. Number one, if you're taking points. Three types of prisons I want to touch on right here. The prison of trouble. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, trouble's going to come. It is. Even if it's small trouble, if you left your lights on the night before and now you got to boost your car, like, that is the worst in the middle of the winter. Like, those are troubles that you start there, and then you don't get your coffee, and then because you don't get your coffee, you're addicted to caffeine, so you get a headache, and all of a sudden, all this trouble kind of starts happening, and maybe you get into an argument because, you know, you were late to work and you're a little frustrated, and it's like trouble. And I'm not speaking that over you. Don't hear me say that. I'm just saying what the Bible says. In this life, it's going to be some trouble. But take heart. He's overcome the world. Therefore, if you actually partner with him and you're in covenant with him, you have overcome the world through Jesus. Do you follow me? The second prison. The prison of attitude. Our attitude can imprison us. A bad attitude can imprison yourself. See, your outlook on the world and what you feel, that you set up all these walls with your attitude, or maybe with comments, all these things, you actually imprison yourself with it. And it actually holds you back to the full potential and the full calling that God has for you. Our ungratefulness in our attitude. I'll tell you what, if thankfulness is the key to so many things in your life, do not underestimate the simplicity of being thankful. Stop in life and actually look around for a second in this social media driven, you know, microwave popcorn world. Just stop. realize that you're breathing. If you got to start there, start there. Realize that there is still air coming out of your nostrils. Realize your health. Realize the people around you. Realize the family around you. Whether you like them or not, you've got them. Realize that we are in such a small percentage, even the poorest in Canada are rich compared to a lot of the rest of the world. Stop and actually thank God for all the things. Look back. See, the past is not good for living from, but it's good to actually learn from it. So if it's going to teach you that God's faithful, go to the past. If it's going to teach you that God can actually pull you through situations, and even in the midst of those situations, when you realize, it's funny, in the midst of a situation, you don't realize God's actually walking you through it. But when you look back with a thankful heart, you begin to see just the patterns that how God moved in your life, how he brought you to different places, how maybe he pulled you into this church the first time you walked in here. That wasn't a coincidence. You're meant to be here. But without thankfulness, you won't actually see those things. You'll think it's coincidence. You'll think it's like, well, I did see it on the highway. I get all that. But thankfulness unlocks faith that God is actually walking with you day by day. And when that happens, that's when prison doors open up in your life. Because no longer you sit in a depression or a feeling of oppression, but you actually walk day to day with a thankful heart. You ever like someone come up to you and they're like, man, you look tired. I'm like, I don't feel tired. And then you keep walking, you know, through the lobby. Hey, do you need a coffee? It's like, I'm totally fine. And then it's like, I get up, you know, to prayer, which happens before service, if you ever want to go to that, about 9 o'clock, 8:45, if you want to pray before service. So I get up to prayer and wow, you look a little tired. I'm like, yeah, I do feel tired. Totally. Whoa. Like, it's like, I got like 9 hours sleep last night. I'm not tired. But you got to understand is that's the power of words. So when you actually speak out thankfulness, it affects. See, if you're going to see it one day, you're going to say it usually first. So in other words, if you want things to change in your life, you're going to speak it before anything. You're actually going to, whether it's just by yourself, I'm not saying throw your dreams out to the entire world. There's dreams that you actually need to keep in your heart, but maybe speak when you're in the shower. When you're in the midst of worshiping, it's like, I'm going to do this with my life. I feel God's called me to do that. Like, you got to speak it out first thing, because you need your own ears to hear it. But also, you also need the enemy to hear it. He needs to hear how confident you are, how thankful you are for your life. What the plans you have that he can't stop. Amen? Say this with me. Change your words. Change your world. You change your words, you're going to change a whole lot of things going on around you. Sometimes we imprison ourselves with words. Well, I grew up in this family. I did this. My dad and my mom were this. And I just, every time I do a test, I fail. And every time I've tried to get a different job. And it's like, speak life over yourself. Then you won't get into that interview like, hi. Yeah, I know I'm probably not going to get hired, but I'm just here, you know, like, I'm just, what is that? That Winnie the Pooh character? Is it Igor? Yeah. Oh, ma. It's like, speak some life over yourself. Everyone's waiting for others to speak life over you. Sometimes you just need to speak it over yourself. David said, encourage yourself. Amen. James 3:3-5 says, when we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, whatever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You want something to erupt in your life, you need to speak it out. You need to actually, when you're in the midst of free worship, when we don't just do that for the sake of doing that. We just like sing out a song. We're not just doing that because it's like, that's cool. It's like we're doing that because we believe that there's a pure form of worship that is in every single person in here, that in which if you would just get out of the prison of insecurity, out of the prison of, you know, what are people going to think if I sing out loud, or the prison of, I don't have a great voice, but you actually break out of that and begin to actually speak out of your heart. Your heart, not what someone wrote, but your heart. That's the moment you're going to change the atmosphere in here, but change the atmosphere in your life, in your home, and turn around certain things that you felt were going downhill, all with your words. See, your words, Paul and Silas are sitting there, and they begin to praise. They have been thrown in jail. They know how powerful God is. And instead of complaining and sitting there moping, they begin to actually just worship. They begin to lift up their voices in hymns and songs. See, this type of praise needs to be in your heart, but it also needs to come from your mouth. God spoke. When you go back to Genesis, God spoke the world into existence. But also in Genesis, it says that we're made in his image, but also in his likeness. The word likeness there is actually, we need to function like he functions. So therefore, when you feel like you're in a prison, you actually begin to speak it out. You begin to pray and you begin to praise. Because those words are actually releasing God down into your life. The third prison is the prison of offense. You can't allow other people to imprison you. I heard one person say, bitterness and offense is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. We consistently allow people around us to set the atmosphere. So Paul and Silas knew what to do when the atmosphere was set. We need to learn how to release people and move forward in our lives. Paul and Silas could have just sat there, like I said. That would have taken up their time. Just going over, why did this happen? Maybe we shouldn't have came here. Maybe we shouldn't have set her free. Why? No, instead it's just like, God's in control. I'm just going to praise him. See, offense is a thing that nobody can actually offend you without your permission. Nobody can. Nobody can offend you without your permission. You give permission to be offended. Now, John, you don't understand what I get it. I've had people treat me nasty. But I do my best in those moments. And there's a moment, I get it. There's a moment you take that hurt, but you present it at the feet of Jesus and you begin to praise. Because if not, that turns into a prison. That turns into chains that you're gonna carry around, and then, you know, you're walking through life and all of a sudden more offense. Oh, put another cuff on, put another chain on. And you just keep carrying this offense. But the fact is that you have put those cuffs on yourself. Because there's an all-powerful God that can actually walk you through those chains. There's an all-powerful God that can actually walk you through those hurts. There might be a moment of hurt, but there needs to be a moment where we just worship and we pray to God, and those chains actually just fall off. Amen? So praise. Paul and Silas praised in their prison. Praise unlocks chains, unlocks doors, brings healing, words of knowledge, creative ideas, breakthrough, promotion, innovative ideas, restoration, salvation, redemption, and more. The key to David was his praise. He was a man after God's own heart because of his praise. See, God will promote you, and I'm not talking about like in a job. When I say promote, I just mean advancement. I mean moving forward. God will promote you when you praise him because he promotes where he gets the glory. Listen, if we're too busy orchestrating and manipulating situations to try to push our lives forward, instead of actually just praising God in prayer and in praise, in releasing our free will over to him, because he won't take that from us. He won't. That's not love if we're forced to love him. So we actually give our free will over through praise and prayer, and we actually place it in his hands, as opposed to us just trying to orchestrate all these things because of past hurts and all these different situations we've walked through that are now dictating how we live. Amen? 5 reasons to praise. One. Prayer and praise releases God into our lives to work on our behalf. We touched on this, but I just want to expand on it quickly here. As I just said, there's something about our free will in his sovereignty that is, I think, will always be a mystery to us. And what I mean by that is this, is if he's an all-sovereign God, why won't he just fix things? Why won't he just do what he wants to do? And if all these pastors tell me he's a good God and he wants to bless us, help us, heal us, then why doesn't he just do it? Well, there's a tension. The tension is this. The part of our relationship with him is genuinely based off of our free will. It's genuinely based off of us choosing him. I heard one theologian say that to God, healing and all these different types of miraculous things aren't actually the miracle. The miracle is that a flawed human with a sin nature would actually choose him out of their own free will. That's the romance of God. And see, so prayer and praise actually releases God because he's bound by his word that man would have dominion on this world. So what do you think prayer, let's just talk about prayer for a second. What do you think prayer is? Like, is it trying to manipulate and beg God for something? You gotta ask first, okay? And you gotta say please, okay? No, he is waiting. He is waiting to take the kingdom of heaven and bring it down to earth. But he needs our prayer and our praise in order to do that. He's messing with man's free will when he just comes down. I'm just going to show up. No matter, even if they don't want me, I'm going to show up. It's like, no, we come into this place on a Sunday morning and we actually begin to pray and we actually begin to praise and God comes down. Why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. Our primary job as a Christian, but also as this church, is to actually bring the kingdom down to earth. And our prayer and our praise is what is the primary thing that actually does that. It doesn't just happen. That means we don't walk in to a Sunday morning service and we kind of feel it out. Ah, you know, there's a little presence of God in here today. It's pretty good. You know, and sit back for, wow, now I feel the presence of God. It's like, yeah, everyone did the hard lifting for you. Everyone's doing the sacrifice of praise. They had a rough morning. They might have had a rough night. They've been working all week. And they come in, they do the sacrifice of praise when they don't feel like it. Why? Because it's time to call down heaven into this place. You follow me? See, praise enlarges, this is number two, praise enlarges our vision. When we get our eyes off ourselves, we begin to see God for who he is. When we get our eyes off our circumstance, I'm sure Paul and Silas were in there and looking around and like, man, I can't imagine what prisons looked like back then. But instead, they take their eyes off their circumstance and they begin to praise. Number three. Praise sets us free. And then praise sets the people around us free. See, I think sometimes we come into this place and we worship because, oh, I just need to worship God, or I need to worship God because it's like I had a rough week and I know my breakthrough and I know my sacrifice of praise is going to help me and I need to experience the presence of God. And I appreciate that, but I think sometimes we come in where we also like, you know what, I've had a pretty good week. You know, I'm just kind of looking around like, ah, I love my church. You know, I'm just kind of like, ah, happy. But we're actually not pressing in to praise. Why? Because everything's A-okay. Oh, this is, you know. What you need to realize is that because we're pulling down heaven, there's people around you that need your praise. Paul and Silas actually begin to praise, and not only do their chains fall off, but the other prisoners' chains fall off. You follow me? So when you come in and we start that first song, and I say we because I love leading worship here. But when we start that song, it's like, let's go. Why? Not just because I need it, not just because he's just worthy of our praise, but actually because there's people around you, there's unbelievers coming into this place that need the manifest presence of God to come down and change their circumstance, their situation, their hurts. It's not just for us. Our mission statement is to bring people into the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. Your mission statement on a Sunday morning is to come in here, lift your hands, and sing as loud as you can. I want to be involved somewhere. Great, be involved somewhere. But guess what? Your foundation is to come in here and even just be a part of the corporate gathering. Just have to ask the worship team to come up. Victory is in our praise. I really believe that. I as a person actually don't even enjoy music that much. I'm not like a musical person. Like when I get in my car, I don't even listen to music. I seriously don't. I was like, but you play bass and guitar. Yeah. I started playing bass because my youth pastor one day was like, I think he saw me kind of wandering away from God. And he's like, hey, do you want to play bass at youth? And I'm like, I don't know how to play bass. It's like, ah. He's like, I know a guy who can get lessons. I'm like, all right, sure. Why not? Come on. Like really, bass players play one note anyways, right? It's, let's be honest. How do you confuse a bass player? You put sheet music in front of them. Ah. Wah, wah. But I'm actually not a huge music fan. I just started because I was like, this is a way I could be involved. I was at the age of 13. And I began to do it well. Actually, this is a side note. I remember my parents were like, they're here too, so I'm not trying to embarrass them, but they're like, listen, and they saw the call of God on my life, and they're like, you can get braces or a new bass. And I'm like, I'll take a new bass. And my teeth, they turned out well. They turned out fine. It's the grace of God. But the fact is that it, to me, it wasn't about the music. It wasn't about me. I didn't picture myself like playing rock shows, or I was just like, that's a great way to be a part of the church. And then through that experience, I just began to experience the presence of God. And then a love grew in me for worship, that I could be a part of a, you know, of something that would just, people would be changed by. But listen, we do everything in this church. Pastor Matt has set things in place that we make sure that this is not a concert. This is not about the musicians play and we just kind of take part in what they're doing. We don't believe in that here. As much as Levi looks like a rock star, he's not a rock star. But our passion is actually just, let's keep the lights on. Let's just worship together.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.